Following along this morning, we'll be in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, starting in verse 14. Now, last week, in Matthew 13, Jesus said, "We are the salt of the earth." Now, Jesus goes through the Beatitudes, and he says what a blessing it is, people who are like this. Then he kind of shifts gears towards the end and starts talking about being persecuted for those values that people have. And then he ends with our relationship to the world. And last week, we saw that he used salt to show how we flavor this world, how we cause people to thirst for the Word, and how we preserve and protect, and how it's important that as Christians, we're out there preserving the world out there as best we can with the Word of God and the Gospel. So in verses 14 through 16, we see another illustration of our relationship to the world. Let's read, if you're following along with me in your Bible, Matthew 5, starting in verse 14. "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Now a man jumps into a cab and says, "Take me to the airport," to the cabbie. So they're driving along and he notices that the cab is going in the opposite direction that it's supposed to be going. So he taps the driver on the shoulder and an unexpected reaction, the car starts careening back and forth and skidding all over the road, almost hitting a building, running over people, or hitting a lamp stand. And, you know, he stops just inches away from going into a storefront. And the man in the back of the cab just says, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" He says, "Well," he says, "this is my first day on the job." And the guy says, "What does that have to do with what just happened?" He said, "Before this, I was a hearse driver." You know, sometimes when someone passes away, some people think about their mortality and the need to consider God. Other than that, the Christian is the only light that a person may see in their life. Don't wait until that time when someone passes away to think about your mortality. Think about it now and what it means in life. Don't wait for someone to tap on your shoulder from the other side to tell you that you need to pay attention and listen now. The first thing we learn from these scriptures here is that the light is revealing. Light removes darkness. It reveals danger. It shows a path. These things are expected to have the Christian to have on the world around him. We're expected to shine that light around us. And as much as the world hates it, if we didn't do it, they would be puzzled. You know, there's a lot of danger out there. And I'm reminded of some funny show I seen one time, and these people go out and they kind of go out to this tropical place, and the brochure says it's supposed to be a paradise, but it's basically a dump. And they've got these mosquito nets and everything over them, and they turn out the lights for the night, and you know, they start wondering and start, "Do you hear anything?" and stuff like that. And as soon as they turn on the light, there's all kind of critters on the netting above them, like scorpions and all kind of crazy things. Of course, they freak out, and it's funny. But there is danger in the darkness. They're stumbling about. And they didn't have light like we have light. They can't flick a switch and turn it on. And if the lights go out and you put on the candles, they don't give out a whole lot of light. Yeah, you can see somebody and you can kind of get around to do things, but it's certainly not the light that we have right now. It doesn't shine with the intensity that you can really read something. It doesn't shine like the sun does. Nothing better than sunlight. You know, there's no lights that we can put out there that have that much power. But it's revealing. You know, we talk about sunshine laws. You know, the government, the open books, that people know what the government's doing. They don't like that either. But it reveals to the citizens what's there. People know that sunshine is our best light. You know, when you look at things in the dark, sometimes they don't look too bad either. You know, we need to shine that light because there are bad things out there. People are doing things they shouldn't be doing. And we need to point that out to people. Also, Jesus is the real light of the earth in John 1:9. Also in John 11:9, Jesus answered, "There are not 12 hours to the day. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. And Jesus is telling them, you have to understand, you could not survive without light. If the sun was darkened, we could not survive. We couldn't grow crops. We couldn't do anything. Nothing would survive. And we couldn't get around. You know, we take the Lord's Supper. And when we take the Lord's Supper, it symbolizes that Jesus not only died for us, but that He's our food and our nourishment. You know, the moisture we need, the food we need, in order to survive. And that's how Jesus wants us to think about it, is that we can't survive without Him. And we're not going to survive without sunlight either. The light reveals the dangers that are out there. They reveal the path we should be going on. If we live in the darkness, we're going to stumble about and we're going to fall and we're going to fail. In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life." He equates that with the light of life. You want to live? You eat and you drink stuff. You want eternal life? You take on Christ. They say you are what you eat. Well, when we take on Christ and when we take on that nourishment, we're taking Him on. And when we focus and think about how food and water or liquids nourish us and how we can't survive very long without them, we're not going to survive at all without Christ. And we're not going to survive without light either. And the world is not going to know Christ and not survive unless we're out there shining that light. Light reveals things, but light also shows the way. The light we show to the world is the light of Christ in the gospel. Not our own, but for all mankind. Our lives are to reflect the mind of Christ and the will of God. Everything we do in life, when we go out and do things, we should shine that light to those around us. We may not be able to tell them about the gospel just there, but we can show them that there's a life that's worth living. When there's a smile on our face, in the signs of adversity, when things are going bad, then we can be that beacon for others. That others can see that Christianity and living a Christian life and following God is not silly and stupid, but leads to a life that's content with what it has, that is content with its place in life, that knows that there's something greater than them. It's like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. When they were in there, they said, "If God will save us, and if He doesn't, He's still God." When you can acknowledge that no matter what happens to you, God is still God, then that's something. That's something that shows that we follow God, we trust God, we know that God is in control, that God knows better than us, and that we're not in charge, that someone greater watches over us. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellences of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We once lived in that darkness, we all did. But we came to Christ to walk into that light. But that light's not just for us. John 3:16 says that He died for the whole world. And His gospel is offered up to that whole world. Ephesians 5:8-9. "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth." The light will expose that which is not truth. That's why the politicians don't like the sunshine laws. You know, we get to see exactly what to do. We get to hear those meetings. And we get to see if they're really doing what we elected them to do. So the light exposes what is not truth. There's a great difference between the light and the darkness. In darkness is sin. In darkness is death. In darkness is the places where sin takes place. In the light, all things are revealed. John 4:14-15 tells us, "If you love me, keep my commandments." When we understand that it is the light of the gospel, we realize that it's not dependent on us, but a higher power. If we keep His commandments, we have His power. And that power is the power of the gospel that saves. I've related to you before people that I've known and that other people have known who were resistant to the gospel. They didn't want to have anything to do with the gospel. They thought people were silly. They thought they were stupid. They made fun of them. They just thought it was a worthless thing to do. And yet, at some point, the gospel reached in. And when the gospel took hold of their heart, you couldn't stop them from spreading that gospel. The gospel is as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago. And Paul said all he preached was that gospel. And Paul said he wasn't eloquent. But the one thing I see from all Paul's writings is that he was passionate, that he was strong. He may not have had the best words to say. He wasn't a poet and could make it sound so great and wonderful like some of the great poets out there can. But he preached the gospel with conviction and with power and with passion. Philippians 2:12 tells us, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." It's a serious thing that we engage in when we accept Christ. It's a lifelong pursuit. It's a life of growth. It's a life of looking at the gospel and looking at the scripture and trying to learn it all and adhere to it and not to distort or change it and not to change things because it's convenient or anything like that. But with fear and trembling, because of the seriousness, work it out there. Now today, there's not a lot of light out there. Just in the past few weeks, we have Roman Polanski. Great artist, great movie maker, they say. And yet he was convicted of doing a heinous thing 30-some years ago. And now everybody will just let him go. It's been too long. He doesn't need to be punished for that. He's a great man. He still did something evil. And someone out there has to stand up and say this is evil. They have to shine the light on it and show that it is evil. When people tell us it's not a bad thing, we need to say back, it is a bad thing. We need to show that there's still a light shining in this world. Or even just this past week, David Letterman, who does a nightly talk show. Someone tried to extort a couple of $1 million out of him because he was having extramarital affairs with people on his staff. So he just comes out and reveals it to his audience. They clap, they applaud, they think it's great. And these shows keep going on, and this evil keeps going on over and over again. There needs to be a light that shines on that. Someone that says, this is wrong. This is not what we should be doing. This is against God. And in the end, it is bad for everyone. Abortion, this diminishing value of life that we have. Is euthanasia next? If grandma's too much trouble, do we decide that she would rather not live and do something with her and take her life or do something that causes the end of her life? Should we force those who are not fully whole to take an exit out of this life or anything like that? We're devaluing life, and life is the most valuable, precious thing that God gives to everyone. We can't create it. We can't duplicate it. The only thing we can do is take it away, and that's unfortunate that so many look to that. You know, when our humanity is replaced by humanism, we cease to be human. Are the men and women created by God to love each other. We were created by God for love and to share that love with one another. Not to be looking to get rid of the inconvenient in this life. Not to be looking to diminish sin so where it's no longer something bad. We need to shine that light. And also the light has to be seen. In verse 15, we see that a city on a hill, a lamp or a lampstand, the Christian needs not be ashamed of his or her confession. If sometimes we're sheepish and we don't want to say anything in the wrong crowd or anything like that, but our actions speak volumes to them. When we don't laugh at the coarse joke, when we don't participate in the evil that people do, that shows them that we hold to what God tells us to. It's not that we're better than them. We're sinners just like them. And because we're sinners, we realize that we needed Christ in our lives. We knew that there was nothing I could do or you could do